Hello, everybody. It is October the 14th, 2009. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio Wednesday night. You're listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
I'm Becca.
We have so much to talk about.
Oh, my God, we do.
It's been quite the week. We go off the air last Wednesday night, and the whole gay world exploded.
Kablooey.
Kablooey. Kablooey with news everywhere. So it started last Thursday, October 8th, when Congress... Our own U.S. Congress voted to make it a federal crime to assault people because of their sexual orientation. Our Congress did that, which significantly expands the hate crimes law enacted in the days after Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination in 1968. With expected passage by the Senate, federal prosecutors will, for the first time, be able to intervene in cases of violence perpetrated against gay folks. Now, House Minority Leader John Boehner says that hate crimes protection should not be extended to LGBT people, though he supports existing federal protections extended on the basis of immutable characteristics. Immutable characteristics, Rebecca, like religion.
I have nothing but a blank stare for you.
I know. I'm completely, completely serious. He has made it clear that he is against protecting victims of hate crimes, which he calls thought crimes, on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. He thinks that immutable or unchanging characteristics should be protected, but does not include sexual orientation or gender identity in that assessment. But he does include religion in that assessment as something immutable.
Though at the same time,
yes,
one of the things that, I don't know, we've talked about before is the right of people to change their sexual orientation,
sure,
or to, you know, waffle among many sexual orientations.
Sure.
And that's, so that's not
just
immutable.
As they could do with religion.
What are you implying, Ken?
I know. So that was last Thursday. And then we entered the weekend. And this was a big weekend. And it started out. It didn't start with the march. We're going to talk about a little later
this
on.
This weekend. Something happened this weekend in Brattleboro that
We're not
was pretty
about that.
Darn
we'll
gay.
We'll talk about that later. But it wasn't as big gay as Saturday and Sunday. So Sunday was the big march. Sunday was the big march on Washington. You were there.
Yeah, I was watching Fox News.
Did you really?
And no.
Oh, because we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that after play a song. But first, we're going to talk about the night before. Because the night before, the big, big deal was that President Obama was addressing the Human Rights Campaign at one of their pay $1,000 per plate. It might have not have been $1,000, but I think it was a lot of money per plate fundraiser. And this was a big deal because he's only the second president to address a gay rights organization.
And
so
we were
big,
all
big
curious
deal.
As to what would be
yes,
said.
Many, and... we, everybody, everybody was curious. Becca and I were curious.
I
Everyone
speak
was
on
curious.
Behalf of all Americans.
It wasn't just you and I.
You know, as usual.
Everyone. As usual.
As usual.
She is the voice of the people.
I am.
So it was a big deal. What is he going to say? Is he going to say anything different than he said before? What's going to happen? So what happened was he said in this speech on Saturday night, he reiterated his support for LGBT issues, including signing into law an inclusive hate crimes measure.
And he promised.
He promised.
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 In big words.
In big, big, fat words.
Bold letters in capital letters and
absolutely,
stuff.
That he would end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mm-hmm. And everybody, oh, yay!
Yay!
Yay! President Obama, Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Gay in the military.
Yay!
So people were very, very excited and they applauded and it was pretty nuts. But the criticism was that at no point during the speech did he lay out a timetable. Did he say, I'm going to do it by this point? And so people left, maybe not the people who paid the money and were at the dinner, but a lot of people who were at the dinner criticized him afterwards and questioned his commitment to the community because he did not lay out any timetable. He said, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. But when? So he advocated patience. He acknowledged that he knows that people are getting a little anxious, but he said in the scheme of things, you need to have patience and it'll get done. What do you think? Should he have said, I'm going to do it by this point? Insert date here.
Yeah, well, no, because I think that would have probably incited the opposition.
I think anything's going to incite the opposition at this point, but sure.
But you know, to rally around a specific date and...
Yeah. No.
By making him wrong on that date, you make him wrong in general and...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's hard to put a date on things like that. I think it's good that he has spoken up and said that he is supporting these issues in a clear way, but...
We are at the point where we don't... It's like, whatever. It's a sitting U.S. president.
I think most people are pretty much, yeah, at that point.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that we... Can we at least step back and say, hey, a sitting U.S. president is addressing the Human Rights Campaign? Because that in itself is actually quite a big deal.
A Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Exactly. Exactly. So I guess we're past that point. Now we want to know when are we going to get these rights? And so people are still frustrated. I don't...
Ken wants a date.
I want to... I don't... Yeah, I do.
You do.
I want a date.
You want a date preferably in the past.
Honestly, yes. I don't want to be mollified. I want to know. I just want to have a sense of, yes, I will do this. I'm going to be working on this now. I don't necessarily want a ranking of this is where this ranks.
No, I know. It's hard, though, because without having an actual specific date or, yeah, a specific plan, it does sound
it's hard to get
kind
excited.
Of patronizing.
Yeah. And certainly, I think his speech.
And it's easy to be cynical because we have had a lot of reason to be cynical.
Well, and
because,
you know,
over time.
It's us. But
his speech
definitely affected the tenor of the Sunday March on Washington, which we will talk about after a song. We have some exciting music tonight with a very, very exciting guest coming up a little bit later. So before,
what's our song?
This is one of my favorite songs of all time, and it's a remix of it. This is How Will I Know by Miss Whitney Houston.
There's a boy I know. He's the one I dream of. Looks into my eyes. Takes me to the clouds above. Oh, I lose. Can't seem to get enough.
is such a good tune. How will I know? How will I know, Becca? How will I know that it's Kristen's birthday?
You'll get a Facebook message.
Well, that's true.
Or you'll go out to dinner with
her. There you go. Happy birthday, Kristen.
Happy birthday, Kristen.
She turned 29 today.
For the first time?
We'll say that, sure.
Sure.
So this, I'm going to read a little bit. So now let's talk about the march. So then Sunday was the big march. Did you watch any of the march on TV? Where were you on Sunday?
I did not.
Okay. I didn't watch that much of it. I watched a little bit of it online. It was great. It was great that I could, what I saw was not great.
I was with them in spirit.
Okay. That works. I was watching it on CNN, and what was a little frustrating about watching it live on CNN.com was that the microphone for the crowd was really, or I guess the crowd wasn't really mic'd, so you could hear them screaming from far away, but then when I saw the recaps on the news, they had the crowd really mic'd, and you could hear them yelling. So I watched three or four speakers, probably not as many as I should have watched, but I was a little tired from the events of the night before, which maybe we'll talk about a little later. But I wanted to read...
You know, it sounds so sordid when you say it that
yes,
way.
It was such a sordid evening, those notes for life.
Scandalous.
Can I read a little bit to you? I thought this was really a great...
Read to me,
I will
friend.
Read to you. This is from Leah McElrath-Renna, and she posted this. This was in the Huffington Post, and I just thought this was a great piece, and I'm going to cut out a little bit of it so I can read it. This is what she wrote. I was wrong. I doubted. I didn't think it would, but the National Equality March rocked. I underestimated the ability of social networking to motivate people to travel all the way to our nation's capital from across the country. I worried about the messaging that would result from such an amorphous organizing system. In particular, I was greatly concerned that the people that did show up would be of the demographic that generally constitutes the majority of the crowds at marches on behalf of the LGBT community, namely white gay men. Not that there's anything wrong with being a white gay man, but the vision of a potential crowd of white gay men protesting against the first black president, who also happens to be the president most supportive of LGBT civil rights in history, haunted me. Wow, my concerns, while theoretically valid, could not have been more misplaced. The reality of yesterday's National Equality March was a remarkably diverse gathering of LGBT people and our allies, many tens of thousands strong. Yes, there were white gay men, but there was also an equivalent contingent of white lesbian women. There were many self-identified bisexuals. There were black LGBT people and Latino LGBT people, numerous communities of faith with large and vocal groups of marchers, former and current military service members, self-proclaimed socialists, a sprinkling of the leather community, a few fabulous drag queens, young people, old people, singles and couples, countless LGBT parents with babes in arms or young ones in strollers, a major showing of straight allies, young adults, and college students. The list could go on.
And on.
That made me feel really good.
But you weren't there.
But I wasn't there.
Ken, why weren't you there?
Who did I watch? You know, I wish I could tell you who... The other problem with CNN.com when I was watching it is it didn't say who the people were while they were speaking. So the first person that I was watching who... this was
did
one of those moments.
Did you see Lady Gaga?
I did not see Lady Gaga. I didn't... There were a lot of people I didn't see. I'll tell you who I did see. That when I first turned it on, there was a guy really yelling, and I knew that I should know who he was, and I didn't know who it was, and now I feel really bad. But he was screaming... really screaming at the top of his lungs about HIV and AIDS. And it was really powerful. It was pretty shrill.
Do you know who he was
now? No, I don't. I still don't know who he was. And I should look up if they have the schedule, because following him was one of the women from Queer as Folk. And she actually was really good. And I very much enjoyed what she had to say. And I love when allies speak, because it was very, very inspiring. But the question, the poll question, Rebecca... that was out there on all the polls. All the polls were pretty much the same question. Was the Equality March a success? And here are your four answers. Yes. Answer two is maybe. It helped fire up the LGBT community. Answer three is no. And answer four is not sure.
Yay!
You say yes?
I don't. Yeah. We've got lots of really fun news clips to watch now with lots of rainbow flags.
That's it. That is
true. We have
true.
A lot of really great speeches.
There were a lot of real... I just didn't want...
I didn't
I
go,
heard a lot about Lady
I'm
Gaga.
I'm really bummed that I didn't go.
Are you?
I am.
I was tired. But 37%, 37% said yes, but the plurality, not the majority, the plurality, 40% said maybe it helped fire up the LGBT community. 13%, including Ken Schneck, who co-hosts the show So Gay, said not sure.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure because I didn't go. What are you doing over there?
I got a little army guy. I just found him.
Is he a gay army guy?
He is now.
Okay.
He's the official sponsor of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh, I hope they don't kick him out. I was reading an article, which I didn't copy and paste for tonight's show, just about how on Sunday there were just tons and tons of articles about Don't Ask, Don't Tell because President Obama said that he would eliminate it. And it said that the article was saying that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is even worse for women servicemen than men service. Men, sorry, I screwed that up.
Then yeah, women who serve in the military. Way to use gender-inclusive language, Ken Schneck.
Not going to edit that out of the podcast. So that that it was, it's much worse. More women are affected by it who serve in the military than men. But that all the spokesfolks,
which that actually really surprises me.
Yeah, but that all, well, part of the reason it surprises you is because a lot of the speeches and the most vocal folks are men.
No, so. The reason it surprises me is that it's generally more socially acceptable to be either gay or bisexual as a woman than as a man in general, from what I've seen. And that's, you know, very limited experience. I'm going to go dig a hole and live in it now because I just made a rash generalization, but
that's okay.
I feel like it is, it's more socially out there and okay for women to
saving you from your hole. We would very much like to thank everybody who came out.
Gosh,
for Notes
it.
For Life. Notes for Life was just an amazing, amazing evening. Kate Pizakis sang the hell out of songs. Winter
Go
Pills
Kate.
Were just incredible. And then Samira Evans and her handsome devils took to the stage.
I heard she rocked the world
she
there.
She rocked the world. Anyway, we're going to play a song, and then we will queue up a guest. So here
Excellent.
You go.
Each other through. Remember the tears you cried, I cried too. Remember how close we came to giving up. Remember the holidays that were destroyed. Remember the arguments we employed. Remember the lines we drew and the lines we crossed.
Look at us flying above the clouds.
Woohoo.
It's got our feet a-tapping. All right, you ready to welcome a guest?
I am.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
I am.
Fantastic. Charles Robbins, everyone, is the executive director and CEO of the Trevor Project. Having spent his career in nonprofit management, Charles joined the Trevor Project in February of 2007. He serves as a member of the Suicide Prevention Plan Advisory Committee for the California Department of Mental Health. He's a member of the California LGBT Health Network, a member of the National Lifeline Suicide Prevention Consumer Survivor Subcommittee. He's worked for the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, GLAAD, Project Angel Heart, and more. Charles Robbins, it is a true honor to welcome you to this show, So Gay. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you for the invitation.
What's going on over there?
Well, you know, we're keeping busy, but it's a good busy, and I always get to say it's heartwarming and heartbreaking.
Well, let's...
We are so excited to have you on the show, by the way.
This is very exciting for us. Now, let's start at the beginning. For those who somehow don't know about the Trevor Project, give us your spiel on the Trevor Project.
You know, we're the only national organization focused on suicide prevention efforts among LGBTQ youth. And our primary program is our 24-hour toll-free and confidential crisis and suicide prevention helpline for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender youth. They can call 24 hours a day and speak to a seasoned, trained volunteer counselor.
Okay. Have you worked the line before? I think you have.
I've been trained. I've been on the line. And but, you know, we have 160 volunteers.
Wow.
And so the need for me to be on the line is much less nowadays because these wonderful people who come in and work the shifts are able to keep the lines open.
Now, tell us, how much do those lines ring?
You know, we're receiving well over 25,000 calls a year from despondent youth across the country.
Wow.
And over two-thirds of those originate from non-urban areas. So they're rural, they're youth who are in isolated areas, a lot of them along the Bible Belt, you know, the Midwest down to the Deep South. And, you know, youth are finding out about us primarily through their schools and online.
I'm sick of talking about this, Charles. Tell us what to do. I'm just sick of saying that there's so many different issues and you know, a big passion of both Becca and myself are really helping LGBT youth. And we have these just young folks all over the country who write to us and we're their outlet. And while that's flattering, it's I'm just so frustrated by it. I want to do something. I want to make every place safer and better for LGBT students. What can we do?
Well, you know, one of the things that we've been doing is we really feel that having a conversation in the classroom around suicide prevention is the beginning.
Okay.
Because when we have these conversations, and there's two ways that this can happen. It could be an educator who requests our survival kit. We send it to them free of charge. It's a curriculum that they can follow and have the conversation themselves. Or we have volunteer teams who are able to go out and deploy the workshop primarily on the West Coast and East Coast. But the idea is that if we can have a conversation and youth realize that their words and their behavior can actually have a fatal consequence, you know, behavior changes. And it's a very empowering workshop. It's a wonderful way to discuss sexual orientation, sexual identity in a safe environment. And, you know, so the schools are really where our focus is going to be over the next, you know, several years. The other thing is to bring about awareness about what are the warning signs of suicide and how to help somebody who's suicidal. But more importantly, what do you do if you are suicidal? And that is to reach out and have you know, the Trevor Project number memorized, our website memorized, and also we're providing the world's only online social network for LGBTQ youth. It's called Trevor Space. It's monitored by our helpline counselors. It's safe. We have well over 6,000 youth who have logged in, joined, and are communicating with each other. They're friending each other. They're talking about their experiences with each other. It's all peer-to-peer.
Now, how when you saw the job ad, how did you know, I want to go work for the Trevor Project? Because I would work there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I had the same kind of, you know, you recognize that I think all of us at some point in time in our life experienced some kind of you know, either depression or suicidal ideation or, you know, we just felt like we were at a low point. And I think we've all had that experience. And, you know, we got through it. I mean, here I am today, you know, executive director of a national LGBT organization that's doing some really amazing work. And, you know, I pulled through. And that's really the job of the Trevor Project and all of our volunteers is to reach back and to, you know, let youth know that they can do it too, and you don't need to make an irreversible decision, and that's so important.
I mean, they too can appear on a big-time LGBT community radio show.
There you go.
See?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just got back from the National Equality March, and I would, you know, as I looked around, I saw so many young faces, and it was such a great thing. to see youth really being empowered by just the physical act of being out and proud. And one of the things that we've launched is a video contest for youth. They can go to our website to get the information about it, but it basically is a, you know, we want youth to produce a 2-minute video and talk about, you know, what the challenges were in your life and how you overcame those.
Absolutely.
Before you go any further, can we just have that 1-800 number so that
it's
out there?
1-800 for the numeral 4-U-TREVOR. Also the website is thetrevorproject.org.
Wait, so now you were at the march on Sunday.
I was.
Tell us. I mean, Becca wasn't there. I wasn't there. I watched some clips on the news. Give us, you are now a reporter from the field.
Yes, you are.
Well, you know, it was certainly well attended.
Yes.
Over 200,000 individuals from across the country descended on Washington, D.C. There was certainly some air of excitement and folks feeling very empowered by the fact that, you know, there hadn't been a march since the 90s. So I think that, you know, and many of those individuals who came, you know, it was the very first time for them to not only be a part of a march, but also to be in Washington, D.C., to see where the halls of government are churning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was really great about it was that there was actually a day of workshops for people to participate in learning how they can become active in their community and get some tools. We, matter of fact, had our Trevor workshop that we held.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it was a great way of introducing people to activism and, you know, learning rather than, you know, going there and going to dance parties. They were actually, you know, picking up some tools, things that they could take home and use to advocate for themselves.
I think one of the tools that you can really help our listeners, Becca and I, with, and you mentioned it right at the start, is that this work can be both heartwarming and heartbreaking.
Yeah.
As you work around issues of youth and suicide and keeping youth healthy, how do you keep yourself motivated? Do you have those heartbreaking moments, and how do you move past them?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have the opportunity to read the call reports from youth across the country.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, just reading those gives me a sense of, you know, I'm really, really lucky to be doing the work that I'm doing. And I find solace in that. I find really strength in that. You know, and the call reports can be incredibly heartbreaking.
Absolutely.
You know, we know that, here's some statistics just right off the bat. More than 32,000 people die by suicide each year. And suicide is one of the top three causes of death for individuals aged 15 to 24.
Jeez.
It's the second leading cause of death among college campuses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also, if you're lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning youth, you're actually up to 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than your heterosexual peer. So we know that there are a lot of youth out there that are you know, having difficulty with their sexual orientation and gender identity. And it's just so important to reach out and to talk to somebody.
Do you get a lot of college students calling the line?
You know, we do. A matter of
fact,
the two large age groups that are on Trevor Space are the, you know, 18-year-old plus group.
Really?
Yeah. 18 to 24. You know, they're online. They're, you know, it's just a great social activity. I think about my growing up, and had there had been a resource, well, first of all, had there been the internet, that would be great. But had there been a resource like Trevor Space, my life would have been infinitely different. You know, it's so great to see a young person from Boise, Idaho, connecting with a youth from Beaumont, Texas. You know, similar stories, similar backgrounds, similar experiences, and all of a sudden they've, you know, kind of like know that they're no longer alone.
Right.
I really am still, my mouth is on the table, that I completely had the misconception that college students were not really calling into this line, and I'm floored, and perhaps
Ken, you've lived in Vermont too long.
There's that.
Yeah, well, you know,
and I've worked on college campuses. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm the dean of students on a college campus. I perhaps only select colleges to work at that
are disproportionately LGBT accepting. And so I have absolutely no tolerance for campuses that are not supporting LGBT students.
Well, and, you know, the campus may be supportive.
Yeah.
But the individual may be going through some very, very
absolutely
traumatic things. And here's an interesting thing about the difference between high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going off to college for the very first time in your life, you don't have that family structure.
Nope.
So you're very much alone. And so those feelings of total isolation. And many, many youth wait until their college years to come out. And, you know, many of them may have, you know, there are good experiences, and there are some that have bad experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it just really depends.
I'm always reminded of that, particularly this time of year. This past weekend was a family weekend at the college that Becca and I work at. And it's always kind of interesting to see students operating in a completely different way than they were before their parents got there. Just a completely different student than the one that I've got to know over the past month and a half. And, and certainly there is that experience.
And, you know, and another unfortunate reality is that in college, there's a lot more drug and alcohol usage.
Yes, there is.
And the LGBT community is up to 190 times greater likelihood of using and abusing drugs and alcohol.
That they are.
So, you know, you have all those kind of issues that that come up as you enter college. So, you know, we're here for them.
Right. Now, can I put you on the spot for a second?
Absolutely.
So as someone who has worked for some pretty darn prominent LGBT organizations, nonprofit organizations, what do you make of some of the current controversies and the pushback against some of the more prominent organizations, in particular like HRC? I was reading one article this weekend. I'm just going to quote from it real quick. Some have charged that HRC functions like the $250 per plate fundraising dinners isolates less financially endowed LGBT activists from becoming involved. What is the place of these larger LGBT organizations that some are saying there's a disconnect between them and the grassroots
ones?
Well,
you know, I think really that you need them all. You need large institutional organizations that are really working on the inside beltway, and you need the grassroots activists. I mean, there's a place for everybody in the movement,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the fundraisers are important because you've got to have funding to be able to do the work that you do. Look, I mean, when you compare the LGBT movement to the religious right,
mm-hmm.
they have so many more resources financially and access to power that we've really traditionally not had. So you've got to be able to you've got to be working every single sector to move equality forward. Grassroots activists are essential. People inside are essential. It's all essential. And, you know, unfortunately, people are not able to be everything.
Right.
So, and organizations aren't able to be everything. So, I believe that there's a place for many of these organizations. And the ones that were duplicating efforts have kind of gone away. I mean, the organizations that are fighting today and working on behalf of LGBT people, you know, they've been around, they've got some solid systems in place, they've got great staff, but also you've got some really, really active, intelligent, young activists out there who are getting involved in the movement, want to make change, and they're doing a superior job at it. They're using the internet to connect, they're doing meetups, they're, you know, really thinking and strategizing. I think it's all necessary.
Now, what about, because we were talking about this earlier before before you called in, just about all the different comments during the march about President Obama's speech the night before. Where's your enthusiasm, frustration, hope level at right now with?
Well, you know, I mean, I was in the room when the president spoke, and it was all very...
Wait a second. You totally are our reporter on the street right now. We had no idea. Okay, tell us.
I was a guest of American Airlines. They're our flying partner, and, you know, I was happy to be able to you know, share that experience.
You didn't even call us.
Right.
And
what did it look like?
What
did it sound like? What did it smell like yes. in that room?
So tell us. Okay, so you were there.
But you know, it was very, you know, this is the first time a sitting president has really, like, publicly addressed.
Big deal. It is a big deal. Yes.
And you know, timeline set aside, this is a great time for our movement. It really is. You know, there's an awareness out there that's never been created before, and public exposure. You know, the real ultimate test of our movement is going to be if we're able to effectively tell our stories. You know, one of the best speeches of the evening that didn't get a lot of pickup was Patrick Kennedy, who actually even talked about the suicide statistics in his speech. And he was there to give the award to Dennis and Judy Shepard. You know, it's been 11 years since Matthew's murder.
I cannot believe that still. Yeah. I was reading that the other day, and
I know.
It was such a pivotal, I think I was a sophomore or junior in college. It was such a defining moment for me.
It was cathartic for me, and that's really where my career changed from, you know, really working. I worked a long time with HIV/AIDS individuals and organizations to doing LGBT work.
Yeah.
And it was because of, you know, Matthew's murder. And, you know, so 11 years have passed, and, you know, we are on the cusp of having finally hate crimes legislation. That's big.
That's huge.
But that it took this long.
It's taken 11 years too long.
Yeah.
But it's big. We're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we want youth to know, is that, you know, there's hope out there. There are, you know, countless times when you look over history, there's countless times there's this quickening that is happening. But also with every quickening, there's setbacks. And you've got to go through those setbacks and keep your chin up, and know that, you know, by and large, we're very, very much further along this path than a lot of people give us credit for.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right,
can you give us that contact info just one more time, have it out on the air?
Absolutely. So if you're interested in calling the toll-free helpline, it's 866-4-U-TREVOR. That's 866-488-7386.
Now, we're going to only make you, normally we make our guests psychoanalyze themselves on all of our song choices. We're just going to make you do one of them. I'm lobbing you up a softball. You're going to knock it out of the park. Tell all of our listeners why you chose I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross, which we'll play you out in just a few. I'm lobbing it up to
you
him.
Are.
He's our reporter in the street. He deserves the softball on this one.
You know, I mean, when that song came out, I knew that there was something about that song intrinsically true about me. I didn't know it at the time.
Right. There you go.
That's
there
excellent.
You go. And very much featured in the movie, Trevor, which everyone should be seeing at some point.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's an 18-minute short. You can actually buy it on iTunes for 99 cents.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, what
I'm
a deal.
I'm doing that as soon as I get home. Now, just tell us, what would success look like for the Trevor Project?
You know,
the ultimate success.
Here's the thing. We would love to be able to say that we reduced suicide across the country with LGBTQ youth. The only problem is that there is no way that we can purely identify that because coroner reports do not disclose sexual orientation.
Right.
And even if they did disclose sexual orientation, many youth hadn't come out or parents may not want that disclosed. So it's unfortunate that we're not able to do that. But here's what we can do. Success for us would be to have mandated suicide prevention education in every high school in the country. There are 14,583 high schools. Let's have some brilliant conversations around suicide prevention, sexual orientation, and gender identity, and change the world.
There you go.
Let's go for the colleges, too.
Let's do the colleges, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the thing. It's prevention education.
Yes.
We can do this in high school. That then can help when
individuals make it to college.
Absolutely. Charles, you know without a doubt that you and the Trevor Project are just doing amazing work, right? I mean, you just have to know this is hugely, hugely important that you are saving lives.
I appreciate that, and I deeply know that, but I give all of the credit to those wonderful helpline counselors who are on the phone day in and day out taking those phone calls. They're the true heroes of this organization, and I'm in service to them.
Excellent. Well, the next time you're feeling burnt out or tired, you give us a call.
Yes,
we'll give you
like
verbal hugs over the phone. And
oh, I really, really appreciate it.
Charles Robbins, it is just an absolute honor to have you on the show. Again, just the most incredible work. And we will be all linked up on our website to the Trevor Project. And so folks can stroll on over, listen to the podcast, get more information. I would drop everything that I am doing and come and work for you in a heartbeat, Charles Robbins.
Oh,
it is just such
so
great work.
Thank you to say that. And listen, your listeners can also know that a direct action that they can take, it only costs $15 to answer one call. So a $15 donation literally saves one life.
There you go.
Excellent.
There you go. Charles, an absolute honor, an absolute pleasure. Next time you're at one of these big LGBT events, give us a call.
Right.
We had no idea you were our reporter in the field. We now know who it is.
There we go.
Thank you so much. Keep up the just incredible life-saving work,
yeah,
Charles. Thank you
so much.
All right. Be well.
Charles Robbins from the Trevor Project requesting Diana Ross's I'm Coming Out. What a great, great guest. Doing great, great work. You okay over there?
Crash.
You can squeak.
Sorry,
we're
guys.
On the radio. Becca was sitting down and making the chair squeak. One more story for you all. A happy, happy story. We're ending with a happy, happy story. This past Monday, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed into law two historic... I don't know what that was.
What was that?
I don't know. Yeah. I was just into it for a second. He signed into law two historic LGBT rights bills, recognizing the contributions of Harvey Milk
and another one, a bill that underscores that same-sex couples married before the passage of Proposition 8 are entitled to full recognition as married spouses in California, regardless of whether they married in California out of state. That's the second one. I'd rather talk about the former. Regarding the former, Schwarzenegger vetoed a similar Harvey Milk bill last year, saying he believed Milk should be recognized at the local level. But now that he has signed it under this measure, each year would proclaim May 22nd. Oh, I hope that's a Wednesday. Go look. Can you look on that calendar?
It'll
over
be
there?
A Wednesday.
I hope it's a Wednesday. That proclaim May 22nd, which is Harvey Milk's birthday, as a day of significance across the state. The day of significance would not close schools or state offices, but it is something that a ton of schools can just provide educational content around. However, Randy Thomason, the president of SaveCalifornia.com, said the bill was vague and could allow for a number of things at schools, including gay pride parades or mock gay weddings. Randy Thomason, I can only hope so.
Sorry, May 2010, the 22nd, is a Saturday.
Ugh, that hurts.
I know.
That hurts.
It is tragic.
So we are. So. Yeah, that's not. Well, I guess we're happy that it passed. I wish, you know, they could have taken into account that our show's on a Wednesday, but whatever, it's fine. At some point in the future, May 22nd is going to be on a Wednesday, and
it
then
sure
we will have
be.
A show. So, yay. That is just a great story. We've been talking about that story every single week.
In fact, in 2013.
Is that right?
That's...
All right. So in 2013...
That's what the internet tells me.
That is going to be just the biggest show we have at any point. I should also... Oh, I didn't tell Charles Robbins that he was our 50th guest. I forgot.
Slacker.
He's our 50th guest. We thought that Daniel Gray was going to call in at the beginning of the show and usurp
and
the
50th
guest.
And he blew us
off. He didn't call in. Well, so, Daniel Gray, sorry, dude. You're the 49th guest.
Did you just
and
call
just
him
the
dude?
49th. Well, I'm not happy.
Just the 49th.
Yeah. So,
well,
Charles
I don't
Robbins.
I think we would have had to have somebody in between anyway because he couldn't be the 49th and the 50th.
He thought he could be.
No, but he's wrong.
Well, he
so
in,
he would
so
have just
fine.
Been the 49th continued.
Oh, gosh. So, folks, please, I'm not kidding. I'm so excited to go. I have not seen the movie Trevor in so long. It is an Oscar-winning movie. You must go to iTunes and download it for 99 cents. I can't wait to get home and go download that.
That's quite a bargain.
That's quite a bargain. And it was, I remember seeing that for the first time. I remember... something to do with Ellen. I think Ellen introduced it or something like that. I'm going to watch it and I'll let everybody know. But it's a great, great movie. We dedicate this show to the Trevor Project, to Charles Robbins, because that is the work. That is the work that we strive to do, is help out LGBT youth, because no one should feel really anything other than joyous. That's what we want. That's what we're going for. Don't you agree?
Yep, full-time joy.
Yeah, that really came across there.
Well,
anyway.
I just accidentally punched my microphone. I've almost fallen out of my chair.
Needless to say, it is Becca's bedtime, so that's going to get us the heck out of here. Kristen, happy birthday. Charles Robbins, thank you so much. Diana Ross, we'll call you later. We have incredible, incredible shows coming up. If you have not gone over to thisshowissogay.com and clicked on upcoming anytime
you
recently,
should.
You should. What is not on there that will be on there within the next 24 hours, probably by the time you're listening to this on the podcast, is Billy Myers is going to be on the show at
Yay.
The beginning of December. Billy Myers, who sings, who has sung the song Kiss the Rain, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. And she's back and she's got a new album and she's out there. She's just fantastic. But we have tons of other folks. Jack McEnroth from Project Runway. Just tons of people, tons of people.
We're excited.
We're
it's
very,
good.
Very excited. So get out there, folks. Go do stuff. Go watch Trevor. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Head up high and don't